What drives someone to spend their entire life pretending to be other people? In the musty dock bungalows of post-partition India, a boy with uncertain parentage, born in either July 1949 or August 1950, no one quite remembers, watched a performer with a painted face and felt the earth shift beneath his feet. That moment of enchantment would become a lifelong obsession. Growing up as the unremarkable third son in a family shadowed by infant deaths and partition's lingering trauma, young Nasir found refuge in an interior world far more vivid than reality. His blind great-aunt Nani Bhaji spun bedtime tales of ogres and flying horses that taught him something crucial. You could escape an ordinary life by inhabiting extraordinary ones. When relatives whispered about his father's mysterious time tutoring an exiled Afghan king's daughter or his mother's fading feudal lineage, these fragments became the raw material for a different kind of storytelling, the kind that happens on stage, where transformation isn't just fantasy, but craft. St. Joseph's College in Nainital unknowingly provided a masterclass in world cinema through weekly screenings. Spencer Tracy, Gary Cooper, Buster Keaton, Orson Welles. Hindi movies were forbidden, making cinema feel like contraband. But watching wasn't enough. Walking corridors became evading snipers. Climbing stairs transformed into scaling snowy cliffs. This private world of make-believe felt infinitely more appealing than reality, where he failed class 9 twice and never got theater roles. Years later, he wondered, does difficulty with real life drive people toward acting? Looking at worthwhile actors, many seem to find fulfillment hiding behind make-believe when lacking early self-worth. Jeffrey Kendall's traveling Shakespeare company performed at a neighboring school. Kendall's voice had the mellowness of old oak, his body an instrument capable of any virtuosity. Watching him transform from intimidating to timid revealed acting as precision and craft, not mere pretending. When a play competition was announced, Nasir staged scenes from The Merchant of Venice as Shylock. On stage, something clicked, like being submerged in warm rose water. Despite losing, Reverend Cedric Fernandez cast him in the annual day production, where he won Best Actor. That night, the decision crystallized. Acting was what he was born to do. He became that actor, excelling in debate with theatrical Shakespeare deliveries, playing the convict in The Bishop's Candlesticks, and Pontius Pilate in A Christmas Pageant. Even his relationship with his perpetually disappointed father improved slightly. The only problem? He had no idea how to prepare for an acting career. At 16, armed with 500 rupees from selling his watch, bicycle, books, and warm clothes, he boarded the Dehradun Express to Bombay. He slept in a Madanpura Zari embroidery workshop where 30 people paid 10 rupees monthly for floor space, vacating by 9 a.m. daily. For over a month, he traveled ticketless between Madanpura and Bandra twice daily. A peculiar apathy settled over him, indifference toward his empty stomach, his traumatized parents, his vanishing future. His first film work came as an extra in Aman, earning 7.50 rupees daily. During a funeral scene, he positioned himself in the front row, sneaking glances at the camera. As funds dwindled, he sold clothes at Chor Bazaar. Then salvation arrived. Mrs. Saida Khan, Dilip Kumar's sister, appeared in a gray limousine. His desperate father had contacted their family connection from the Sufi shrine he administered in Ajmer. At Dilip Kumar's Polly Hill bungalow, facing Sakina Appa's fury, he dissolved into tears. Dilip Kumar lectured him on why boys from good families should not join the film world. Escorted back on the Dehradun Express, he returned home defeated but not broken. The dream remained undiminished. At Aligarh Muslim University, Shah's Arms in the Man appeared in the syllabus. Having seen Shakespeareana perform it repeatedly, he convinced the lecturer to stage it, casting himself as the chocolate cream soldier. The acclaim established his reputation. Professor Zahida Zaidi introduced him to absurdist theater, casting him as a 95-year-old in Ionesco's The Chairs, a bewildering play he barely understood but pretended to comprehend. Then he met Parveen, a Pakistani ophthalmology student 14 years his senior. When CID officers threatened her deportation unless she married an Indian citizen, they married secretly. At 19, madly in love, with daughter Heba soon arriving, he felt completely unprepared for fatherhood. Watching the National School of Drama's Caucasian Chalk Circle convinced him this was where he needed to be. At NSD, Ibrahim El-Kazi introduced them to art appreciation and serious cinema. Landing the coveted role of Ozdoc as a first-year student brought his first press recognition. But watching Pia Kagar at Regal Cinema, he suddenly saw his future, supporting roles in films. Despite El-Kazi calling him a traitor to theater, he applied to the Film and Television Institute of India and was admitted.
At FTI, Professor Taneja, who studied under Lee Strasberg, was Alkazi's opposite, cheerful, patient, supportive. Students learned to perform actions as themselves, focusing on intentions rather than planned movements. Through foreign films, he discovered naturalistic acting, performers who seemed to be their characters rather than pretend. The elusive method revealed itself as Stanislavski's system for creating truthful performances. His breakthrough came when Girish Karnad recommended him to Shyam Benegal for Nishant. The second lead paid 10,000 rupees, a fortune. The cast read like Indian theater's Who's Who: Satyadev Dubey, Girish Karnad, Amrish Puri, Shabana Azmi, Smita Patil. He submitted completely to Benegal's direction, learning that film performances are assembled piece by piece. Despite performing well and Shabana predicting stardom, not a single offer followed. This began his pattern of working in parallel cinema, films prioritizing storytelling over commercial appeal. Nature helped by denying him box office hits, leaving the industry unsure how to typecast him. He received roles other actors couldn't or wouldn't play, hired for ability, not popularity.
Since age 15, a recurring nightmare haunted him, a wise old man watching his work, saying, "Well, doubtless everyone has always said you are a very good actor, but..." The sentence never completes. This fear drove him forward, manifesting as a young Jesuit, a woolly-headed professor, a beautiful woman. Now, looking in the mirror, he glimpses the old man staring back. His journey revealed that acting references come from life, not Hindi films. Finding his spot took 40 years. Ratna Pathak became his anchor. She made him appreciate family, bringing him closer to his mother and brothers. Her calm acceptance of Heba's existence proved her character. Together, they built Motley Theater Company, staging productions stripped to essentials, actors and text, nothing more. Dr. Raj Kumar resolved his voice issues through diaphragmatic breathing. After 6 months of training, he never lost his voice while acting again. Life remains too complicated for happily ever after, but he found his place, not as a conventional star, but as an actor committed to craft. The wise old man in the mirror keeps watching, pushing him forward. True artistry is built through failure, persistence, and the courage to keep pretending until pretending becomes truth.